He said, America, you are both blind and deaf. I will laugh at your calamities when they come upon you. You rejected righteousness. You rejected the highway of holiness for the highway to hell. What more can I say? What more can I do? I sent my prophets with my words in their mouths, but you mocked them and labeled them as fools. You led away from me my bride, and you taught her the ways of Babylon. You clothed her with the fine linen of Egypt. Your dainties have caused her to be deaf. My church no longer hears, thus saith the Lord. She no longer fears the words of my prophets, but soon she will. For I will roar as a lion through my prophets, and fear of the Lord will return to my bride, and I will be honored and justified in the midst of it all. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words that are impactful to our hearts and to our ears. I pray that it sinks deep down to where, Father, we comprehend and recognize and realize that you are speaking not only to America, but to the nations of the world, not just a select few, but to all of humanity. And as we hear your words, may we act in faith and obedience. Hide me now, I pray, behind the shadow of the cross. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen and amen. The Father took me in a different route this morning as I was spending time with him. He first took me to Amos chapter 3, which we will get to in a minute. Actually, I began in chapter 1 and worked my way through until we landed together on chapter 3, and he settled in my heart. And he spoke this to me as a title. He said, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. And in the prophetic word that I gave you, we see that this nation and really the nations of the world and the church itself has forsaken thus saith the Lord. They don't want to hear thus saith the Lord. They don't want to hear the prophetic, because when you have everything all together, you have money, you have assets and things and stuff, you don't really need God. Because most people call out to God, most quasi, lukewarm, milquetoast, backslidden Christians only call out to God when they're in trouble. But a true believer always calls upon the name of the Lord every day, whether it's sunshine and blessings or storm clouds and rainy or bad reports or no reports. A believer loves God at all times. And one of the problems that we're having in our country, as well as the world, is the fact that people don't want to hear what God is saying in the now. Because, again, we're doing good. We got blessings and assets and things and bank accounts. Churches are doing well in certain sectors, in certain places in America, certain neighborhoods, and so on and so forth. We're seeing prosperity. Though most churches are living by credit, and it's a false prosperity, but nonetheless, it looks good. Horrible in the books, but looks good on the outside. And so there's no need for prophets, true prophets. Now, I'm not talking about those that speak things and their eyes roll in the back of their head like a dying calf and utter out stuff that you can't understand and have a bunch of yay-yays in there. We're talking about the true prophetic. But I believe there is coming a day that the prophets of God are going to rise up in a mighty way, and God is going to roar like a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is going to speak in a very powerful way. I believe 2023 is going to be one of those seasons. And as you come back on New Year's Eve service, I'll put it all together for you. Are you in Amos 3? I've given you quite a bit of time to find it. It's near Joel or Joao. That's why I say Amos, because some say Amish. Like an old preacher says, turn to the book of Job. As far as I know, it's Job. Is anybody here? Go to Malachi. I think it's Malachi. And I've heard it be called Malachi. Is anybody here? I've heard more than one preacher call it the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelation. Is anybody here? We're all different, aren't we? Aren't you glad we're not going to be graded by some of these things? I can tell people all the time, I don't know where every verse is, but I know it's in the Bible, and we can find it. Amos chapter 3, the word of the Lord, that is the title of the message. Verse 1, hear this word. Hear this word. Now, Israel, Judah is in trouble. They're in trouble because of their backsliding. They're in trouble because of their idolatry. They're in trouble because of their whoring. They're in trouble for what they've done by leaving the covenant of God and the God of the covenant. Sound familiar? They left the very foundations of which their nation was built upon. They left the very foundations of which their nation was protected by. The covenant of God and the providence of God and the sovereignty of an almighty God and a love for God and the love of his law. So God raised up a prophet by the name of Amos to prophesy to them a word, a specific word. Again, I believe God is speaking a specific word, and the problem with the church is we have so many words out there. We have a smorgasbord, a buffet of prophetic words that Christians just go from, come on now, from spot to spot, taking slop after slop and putting it upon their plates and partaking of garbage and things that mean nothing and add to nothing because it sounds good, it may look good, and it might even have some good taste to it, but it does the body no good. And because we are creatures who love junk food, somebody help me, if you put a carrot and a Snickers bar in front of somebody, Flo, why are you looking at me like that? The first thing they're going to do is look at the Snicker and push aside the carrot. Or they will eat the Snicker and then eat the carrot and say, oh, I feel better now, when they don't offset each other. It's like going to get a big old supersized meal and then order a Diet Coke just to make your conscience feel better after you put all them trans fats and nuts and bolts and stuff. You don't even know what you just crammed down your gizzard. But you're going to wash it down with a, is anybody, a Tab drink. Remember Tab? I wish I had somebody. That was like rusty water. Verse 1. Hear this word. There is a specific word that needs to be preached and that is being spoken in certain circles of the prophetic community, if you will. It's a specific word. And I believe that word today is a word of warning and a word of judgment. It is a word of prepare your house and get your life in order. I believe it is a word that says you better take shelter and take cover in God and come closer to him and know him and his word. I believe that is the word of the hour. I do not believe it is a word to go get your prosperity and all your stuff in order for you to hoard it all up for yourself. I believe it's a time to give and to give sacrificially. I believe it's a time to give to where it hurts like you've never given before. And don't worry, honey, I'm not raising up an offering today. I'm just preaching and prophesying truth to you. It's a time to live in sacrifice. And if you're doing good and your budget's looking good, that's the person and that's the reason you ought to give more than you've ever given before.
Exactly.
Come on now. Because what's, you mind this, just go preach this. Because what's going to happen in this season, watch this, Flo knows, Flo's been here a while. Sarah, you know what I'm talking about. You know what's going to happen is everybody's going to buy all these things for Christmas. And you're going to be more in debt than you were in the beginning of the year. And then you're going to go into 23 with more debt. And ain't nobody going to like you anymore when they did. Come on, when you didn't give them anything. I mean, it's just going to be a cycle, and the church gets involved in it. Listen, I don't care about giving. Give people a gift. I mean, if you need to know my size, I'll tell you later. You know, give the gift of love, whatever. But the point is this, that we are in a season of critical times, and that is the time when you give like you never have to the kingdom of God. Joseph gave in the time of what? Famine. That's the principle that I've learned. When I am scraping the bottom, it's time to give. When it's overflowing on the top, it's time to give. I believe that's a prophetic word. You say, I'm not here to take up an offering. What I'm trying to do is prepare the body of Christ, because there are some very, very, very dangerous days ahead of us. I'm still in verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you. Now, see, Amos wouldn't be very popular today in American churches, like most watchmen are not popular in American churches, because it's hard to find a true watchman on the television screen. You got to have that guy that says, get ready, get ready, get ready. You got to have that person that says, get more, get more. Come on. You got everybody looking at prosperity, and you have very few that are telling you to give it away to world missions. To give it to the least, the lost, and the last of the world. No, they are the ones that want to receive your money. But he says, I've got a word, and it's against you. And what we're not recognizing and realizing in this hour is that God is judging the house of the Lord first. And I believe that the judgment that is coming upon the house of God is not just pastors being exposed for what they do behind closed doors. I don't believe it's all the financial irregularities and all the things they do with fraud. I believe what is coming is a financial collapse and holocaust that's going to cause the wheat and the tares to be exposed. In other words, those that have been stealing and fooling and haven't been doing what they're supposed to do, when this thing breaks and this thing happens, they're the ones that are going to be found wanting. But on the other hand, those that have been sacrificing and giving and doing what they're supposed to do, they're going to rise above the situation and the circumstance, and they're going to be on the blessed side of it all. I believe that. I believe there's a transfer of wealth coming. Can I just preach this? I said there's a transfer of wealth coming. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about assets. I'm talking about things. Listen to me now. I laid in bed last night. I couldn't sleep very well. I felt like a child at Christmas time. I wanted to go back out there and look at the truck. In fact, I actually did later on when I got up. I peeked through, make sure, you know, everything's okay. The cat didn't drive it off. But I laid there in bed and I kept thinking and planning for vision and what I want to do and what God wants to do. And he kept talking to me about the future and ministry and missions and doing things. And I'm not going to tell it all to you because it'll blow your mind. You already think I'm nuts. You're going to think I'm nuttier. Are you here? And I'm believing God for wild things and amazing things. And he's reminding me things that he told me 20, 30 years ago. But I'm not worried about the economy. Are you here today? Because God doesn't do business on earthly economies. He does it by the currency of heaven. And the currency of heaven is what? Faith. Woo! Glory to God, I'm going to run around this church. That's why I don't worry about the stock market or the 401k. I don't worry about special K. I don't worry about anything that has to do with natural finances. Because the economy of God is divine. He created the gold and the silver. He created the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills too. So the church needs to rise up and recognize and hear the word of the Lord that God will take care of his people no matter what storm comes our way. So why are we so afraid? We're afraid to give. We're afraid to do this. We're afraid to look into the future. And we're so worried about the temporal and the now. Now is faith. I feel good this morning. Because I'm telling you, he's going to take a remnant. This ain't for everybody. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. This message today is not for everybody because everybody don't believe God. Everybody don't trust God. Everybody who says they're a believer and wears a cross around their neck don't even know the one who was on that cross and don't know faith. They don't know the word. They don't spend time in prayer. They don't spend time fasting. They don't spend their life in sacrifice. They just got a big mouth. And they do what the American Christian does, is that walks around and just says what they say, God bless America, and they don't mean it. I know it. You do too. You get around Christians and they say they're Christians. Oh, I go to church. And then they say all kinds of tripe. Talking to somebody, I won't go that far, sister, but I was talking to some. I won't repeat what she said, but it's C-R-A-P. I'll spell it. Talking to a Christian the other day, we were talking about something. She says, oh, yeah, that karma's bad. And I just looked at my wife and I said, I just told you the statistics. 9 out of 10 Americans believe in some type of New Age terminology. And that's exactly what came out of this Christian's mouth. We don't believe in karma. What a man sows, he reaps. That's what I believe. I believe in the retribution. Man, I got to go on. But this is the word of the Lord against you, O children of Israel. Watch what he says here now. Against the whole family. Look at everybody you can real quick with the 360. The whole family. That's what I said from the beginning. God does not differentiate between the church and America when America says they're the church and America says we're a Christian nation. So God says, okay, you're going to go down that route? Is that how you're going to act? Because I can divide the heart. I can see it. So I'm going to go ahead and lump you all together then. You want to be a heathen? You want to act like the heathen, but then say you're a believer? Okay, I'm going to deal with you just the same. So he said, the whole house, I'm going to deal with the whole family. And we have a mindset, watch this, we have a mindset in Christianity that God's going to judge them. But he ain't going to judge me. He gonna judge them folks over there. He gonna deal with that part of society, them colors and them peoples and them tribes. And come on, those folks over there. But see, God ain't going to deal with me because I make confession at an altar one day and I can do what I want to do because I'm covered by grace. Now, listen, now I'm talking to the person that's slipping and tripping and flipping and falling and fumbling while they're acting like they're a believer and they don't know Christ. That's who I'm talking about, who's a hypocrite, who lies their way through church and through life in general. And God says, I know who you are. I'm talking to the whole family. I'm going to deal with everybody. But I'm going to tell you, there's a group of people within the church today that think they're going to slide, they're going to fly away. They ain't got nothing to worry about. God ain't going to deal with them. Baby, the Bible declares that's going to rain on the just and the unjust. God is going to allow us to go through things because he knows he can get us through those things. And he's going to have somebody stable in the midst of chaos. Watch this. I've got a word against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family. Watch. Which I brought up from the land of Egypt. I delivered you. I'm talking to covenant people. I'm talking to the folks that I showed my signs and my wonders and my miracles to. I'm talking to you. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, but I couldn't get Egypt. Watch this, out of you. See, some people have been taken from, but they've never been delivered out of. And they still got Egypt inside of them. That's why you can have church folk that do what they do, smoke, drink, and jump rope, and go out with girls and boys that do. Come on now. And can walk in the house of God like they ain't never done nothing wrong. I'm feeling good today. Y'all just got to camp out. And they as pure as the first snow of the winter. But the truth of the matter is it's yellow snow and they're rotten. Y'all need to keep tuning in because you never know what's going to be said. I don't know how to describe some folks sometimes. I just tell like it is. And it's absolutely hypocritical. They all wonderful. They all bag of chips. But I got you from this land of Egypt, but for some reason I couldn't get Egypt out of you. And that's what judgment is going to do. And that is what's happening in America. I wish you would see this. We are in a squeeze for a reason. I've ministered this for several years now that God is pressuring us. And he's putting us through the pressure point. And none of us are immune to it because we must be pressurized in order to get the junk out. See, if you're looking for a Christianity where there's no pain and you're looking for a perfect place to where you just float around like a little butterfly, just bouncing off each other and come on now. You're in the wrong church, first of all. We don't have no butterflies here. We have eagles in this house. Anybody here? Somebody said turkeys. No, we ain't got no turkeys. Got eagles. But if you're looking for that type of Christianity and you're listening to those type of messages, you're not going to be ready for what's coming. One of the things the Lord put on my heart very strongly this morning during prayer is folks are not ready for what's coming. They're not prepared for 23. I'm telling you, not prepared for what is coming this way. And the reason for this, watch this, is we're trying to get out of the squeeze and we're trying to get out of the pressure that God has placed on us by reason and purpose in order to strengthen us. Now, we know the difference between the hand of God and the hand of the enemy. Because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy you, but God wants to bless you and prosper you. But the only way he can do that is get you to be a vessel of honor. And a vessel of honor is not something you pull off a shelf. It's something that goes to the potter's house. And you have to be squeezed and you have to be molded and you have to go into the fire. And sometimes in that process, it don't look right. So God just works it all over again. Some of y'all ever feel like you being squished? It's one thing to be squeezed. It's another thing to be rolled up in a ball. But in the church, we don't have the difference in understanding because our shepherds have taught us all this happy garbage that once you get saved, everything's beautiful. Man, once you get saved, I mean, just angels come down and feed you angel cake. Food cake, is that what it is? Just bonbons and... Yeah, man, it's great. Just, you know, you're saved and woo. No, honey, as soon as you get saved, there's a bullseye on your back. And not only that, you go into training by the Holy Ghost. And we don't teach that anymore. We don't train discipleship, so we got a bunch of brats running around. Listen, if you got to go, just go, because I'm going to take my time today. It's rainy out there. Why you want to go out there anyways? Whose family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, I've only known you of all the families of the earth. In other words, what? God said, I've only known you. See, we don't get this. I'm just going to camp out here for a minute because we have too much of, we are the world. We are the children. We do. We have had propaganda, brainwash, mind mesmerizing, whatever it is, put into our coconuts and into our brains to where they're scrambled. And we've been pre-programmed thinking that it's all God's children. The whole world is not God's children. He's created them all and he is creator God to them. But to be a child of God, you must be born of God and be born again. Then you enter into covenant relationship. Now God loves creation and he's trying to bring creation to the Savior. And he's doing it through the church and by the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the church has this mindset that we're all just one big happy family. And that God doesn't have a problem with sin. He doesn't have a problem with degradation. He has a problem with, no problem with any of these things. But the truth of the matter is, of all the families of the earth, God chose us. Beginning with Israel and then coming to us as we are grafted into the vine as Gentiles. Aren't you glad for that? So now it's one new man, according to what Paul has declared and taught us, that we are one new man in Christ. But there's still those who are alienated. Come on now. They're foreigners to the truth and the covenant of God. So God says, I'm going to deal with the whole family. I loved you. I've planned it for you. I've adopted you. I fell in love with you. But watch what he says next. See, here's where I'm making the point. They felt, because of that adoption, watch this, that they could forsake covenant, do what they wanted to do, but yet still have that blessing attached because they were family. You ever had somebody do you wrong in your family because they were family?
Right. All right.
Oh, I'll borrow $100 off of Uncle Mark. And if Uncle Mark don't get his $100, hey, we're family. Is anybody here? How many of y'all had that done to you?
Yeah.
Stole something, borrowed something, and you ain't seen it in decades. Because we're family. Watch what God says about that. That's the problem, the mindset in the church. We were just all family, you know. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now, I don't like that word. There's a mistranslation in there, Pastor. You better get some white out and fix that. Amos, this is the word that you will speak against them. I have loved you. I brought you out of Egypt. I gave you forgiveness. I redeemed you. And because of that, I'm going to punish you and visit you for your iniquities. In other words, he's saying it this way. You ain't going to get away with your sin. But from the pulpits of America, we brush over sin. We don't talk about sin. We don't talk about holiness and righteousness. We just let people slide and glide and do what they want to do. They can fornicate. They can do what anything they feel in their heart. And when a preacher gets up and says something about it, they the bad one.
You're just picking, preacher. You're just so mean.
No, honey. God looks at it as this. I gave you everything. I delivered you. I gave you my son. I gave you forgiveness. I wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. I've given you righteousness. I've given you holiness. I've given you peace. I've given you healing and deliverance. I've done all these things to you. I've given you restoration. And then you took that from me and then used it against me as a card and a license to sin. Listen now, if you've ever did any study on the grace message that's going across America for decades now, that's exactly what they preach. That when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all of your sins, past, present, and future. Well, technically he did, but you got to repent of them. That's the key. That's the hinge that opens the doors to covenant. If my people, come on somebody, which are called by my name, would humble themselves in what? Pray. Then I would hear from heaven and heal their land. But see, we don't apply that because we don't believe in the hinges of if. I wish I had somebody hear me. And therefore, we've taken advantage of God and we think we have this cocoon and bubble of grace that shields us from an almighty God. Let me tell you what shields us. It is his grace and his mercy, but it only goes so far that he judges in the book of Revelation according to the iniquities and the sin of man. And that there is a payday someday. And that he gets his church to a place where what? It is blameless and spotless. Well, how do you do that? You got to go through some stuff. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to throw your clothes, bundle them up, and just toss them in the corner, and they pop back up clean? All the ladies said, hallelujah. All the men said, I've been believing it for years. Mama used to always say, those jeans are not going to walk their way into that pantry. How many of y'all remember that? They only have your legs in it. And then we think we're just going to pop up beautiful, but there's a process of Christianity that we won't preach. And then when I say things and preachers like me say things, everybody gets all mad and offended and think that they're just some old meanie pants. But I'm telling you, this word is what the Lord is speaking today among many. The word of the Lord, we don't want to hear it. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. I got to stop there again because you could just hear God's intimacy. I've only known you. I've only known you. I've only loved you. And then you're going to turn your back on me? No, we're going to deal with you. I'm hitting a wall and I know it. I can feel it. I love resistance. I feel the spirit of the age right now. I feel the spirit of the church today. Just people resisting it. Not in this house, but I could just feel it. I know what's happening. I know it. I know it in my spirit. Well, I'm going to keep kicking that wall down. Because I'm telling you, this is the word of the Lord. We've taken advantage of his grace. We frustrated his grace. And you preachers that are watching, you preachers that listen to me, you're at fault. You're the one that prescribes and describes God. You're the one that gives out the medication, if you will, the prescriptions of God, the scriptures of God. You set the course. You set the culture. You set the pace. But I'm telling you, he's raising up prophets. He's raising up watchmen men and women of God who are not afraid. They'll look into a camera and they'll declare and decree the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord of the hour. Not trying to make people happy. Look, I love you and I want you to be happy, and I'll do everything I possibly can, but I ain't going to lie to you. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. I don't believe you, preacher. I just don't believe you. That's Old Testament. Poo, 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 poo. Old Testament. Ooh. I'll get to the New Testament in just a minute. Is that okay for you? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Remember growing up where it ties together? Remember being a gunny sack and you try to do the little, what's that thing called? She don't even know. She's teaching school. She don't even know. They don't even do it no more. Now they put the gunny sack over them. Sack races. Before you waterboard them. I mean, take them to the principal's office. Yes, you know, you're tied together. If one's hopping, one ain't, what are you doing? You're falling. Remember that? You always had the heavy set kid help you out? And he couldn't. He couldn't do a 2-inch vertical lift. I was usually me. I was a little chubby one. They were like, oh, don't give me him. I'm like, try it, buddy. We'll roll all the way to victory. We don't have to hop. Somebody help me. Rolling's moving. May not be in the rule books, but it doesn't. If you don't agree, you can't make it. Anybody who's been married before, anybody who's married right now, or any type of relationship, you must agree somewhat. Or if you don't, you're going to disagree and you ain't going to be around each other for long. So here the prophet is speaking by the power of the Holy Ghost of what God is saying to Israel, his family. He's now asking them a series of questions, knowing the answer, to bring an indictment to them. See, God knows the answer, but he wants to hear your response and then to show you why he came to the sum total of what he believes. Watch this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. They say, well, Pastor, again, that's Old Testament. All you got to do, go 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, where Paul said, don't be unequally yoked. Don't hang out with these people. Don't be connected with these individuals. Not that you can't witness, not that you can't be around them, but make no connection with them to where they influence you. How many all know you can go bury a dead body? But if you carried that body wherever you went, it would affect you. Uh-huh. Not very much long after you walked away with it. And so it is, God has given us a description, both Old Testament and New Testament, that there are certain things and certain people that we're not to connect with, to separate ourselves and come out from among them. Let's clarify it some more, shall we? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? No. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? No. Can a bird fall into a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Talking about there's no bait? No. A bird doesn't land in a trap where there's nothing to eat. I think he's got a brain, don't you think? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have nothing at all? No. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? A trumpet of what? Warning and war. Shall there be an evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? So now he's describing and saying, look, You know the answer. But when it comes to me and what I'm going to do in the city and what I'm going to do to you in judgment, you still think the answer is no. You got to read the way Amos is talking here, the way the prophet is prophesying. It's almost in a riddle, but he's making a point. You say no to all these other things, but when God says he's going to do something, you say no, he won't, and no, he can't, because we have covenant together and God owes me because God knows me. No, God doesn't owe you when you don't know him. I'm trying to behave. Really, I'm trying to be good. Verse 7. Surely, or absolutely, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto the servants. His servants who? The prophets. Now, God does do things that he doesn't tell prophets, because he did not tell the prophets of the Old Testament the totality of what he was going to do in the New Testament through the church. They fully could not conceive and understand because God held some things back. But what the scripture is saying is that when he's going to do something, watch this now, he's going to do something in a nation and something to a people, he will speak to his prophets prophetically so that they will stand up and declare and decree the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and a warning to the people. Now watch, it may take days, it may take months, it may take decades before the revelation of the prophecy comes to life and fulfilled. But nonetheless, the prophet doesn't worry about the timing. He just says, thus saith the Lord. But what happens to a church and to a nation and a people that is so full of the dainties and the vanities of life, they become dull of hearing and they get tired of hearing the preacher. Listen now, I'm not saying anything different than the prophets of the old. I'm not saying anything different than the watchmen of yesterday. In fact, you can go back and rewind and listen to some of the old great Baptist preachers in the Brush Harbor days. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. When they were on fire, the real fiery Baptist preachers. And you couldn't tell the difference between a fiery Baptist preacher and a Pentecostal preacher. If you don't believe me, you don't know history. They were powerful, and they called fire down from heaven. And they were called shouting Baptists. I wish somebody help me. All that means to me is they just loved God. You can have the titles and categorize people all you want. That's my brother and sister shouting. I've listened to some of these guys. But they were preaching the same thing. They were talking about the demise of the country. They were talking about the backslidden idleness of the church back then. So there's nothing new under the sun. The problem is the church has changed and don't want to hear that preacher no more. Don't want to hear, thus saith the Lord. What we want to hear is about prosperity, feeling good, getting what's mine, and my future and being successful. Listen, I don't have a motivational speech for you except be fearful to fall into the hands of a living God. There's your motivation. The hands of an angry God. That's my motivation. My motivation is live right so you don't split hell wide open. That's my motivation. I mean, I like hearing some of these guys telling me I'm the best and I'm going to be all this. And, you know, that's great. But that don't do me no good in life if I don't have my life right with God. Because you can sit there and motivate yourself all you want, but when hell is coming against you and life is hitting you hard, them motivational speeches and tapes and CDs ain't going to do you no good. You better know the Bible. You better know Scripture. Not philosophies and doctrines of men who are making money over you because you got low self-esteem, and you need to hear somebody motivate you. I wish I had somebody help me. Because if you knew God and the Bible, and you knew you were the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath, you wouldn't need some six-foot icicle trying to tell you, you're number one. Curtis, there's none like you. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you why that stuff is selling. Watch this. The reason why that stuff is selling, it's going off the charts and YouTube channels and millions of views and hits, because the church has no self-esteem because we have lost our identity in Christ. Yes. We don't know who we is. Therefore, we let the world and the TV and arts and entertainment and sports dictate to us what success looks like. And because we're lousy and we can't do those things, somebody better help me. We couldn't sing a tune in a clear day at noon. Couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. You couldn't play a ukulele, let alone a kazoo. You couldn't fit in the most skinny jeans. I'm looking at everybody, including me. And because we see the world, I know somebody's typing and laughing now. You see the world, and you look at that and you say, oh, I gotta be that. I can't be that. Push play. You can be that. No, you can't. Not by pushing play. You better go work out, baby. You want to get in the skinny jeans. Watch this. Get skinny. Boom. Huge revelation. You want to be athletic? Go work out. And you who's is not enough. Come on, somebody. See, we don't want to hear this. We live in this cotton candy, diabetic coma world. Man, I'm not making fun of nobody dealing with stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. That glazed donut look. And we watch every infomercial known to man. It's a lie. Haven't you bought something from As Seen on TV and it was junk? Yeah, come on. And that's exactly what the church has been doing. We've been eating junk food and we're letting all these junkies. You wouldn't let nobody come up here and sell crack to you, would you? No. But you let these preachers come up there and sell crack to you spiritually. Here's some meth. Feel better. Here's some heroin. Here's some uppers and downers and ciders and winders and whatever. And we just take it. We're like, oh, yeah, this is good. I feel better. And then you crash. And you have to go right back again into the cycle. Come on now. We want a life that's stable. God's looking for some stable Christians. Come on. You're going to have bad days and down days. But get up and fight and be who you're supposed to be in Christ. Be motivated, because watch this. Number one, you ain't going to hell. But number two, God is for you and God is with you. That automatically motivates you. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, but I just don't have everything. So what? You're not going to get it. Probably not. Listen, I haven't let go of all my dreams. I still want to be a country singer, and I still want to be a movie star, and I still want to play football professionally. Don't ruin my dream. I still want to do those things, but the more I look in the mirror, I know. It's fading. I mean, sister. It's bad when your little 13-year-old daughter goes, ee. That's all right, but I know who I am in Jesus. Come on. I may not get all those things, but I'm not going to let them go, those childhood things. I'm going to hold on to some of them dreams. Come on, Mark, you know it. Because listen, once you let go of it, then you do get old. You get my point. But my point is, though I may never achieve those things, I'm still confident in Christ that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and God is for me, and I'm going to follow the word of the Lord of the hour. And therefore, if it means I don't get to attain my dream, so what? The dream of all dreams will be my reality. Do you get it? Maybe I'll be a movie star in heaven. Maybe there'll be a transformation, Mary. Maybe something's going to happen. I don't know. You don't know. You just don't know the totality. The Bible says it hasn't entered into the mind or the heart of man all the things God has prepared for them. So maybe he's got an acting role for me. I don't know. You don't know. Don't ruin my dream. He said to give me the desires of my heart. I don't think it's that, but you get my point. Never stop dreaming. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against motivation. But what I'm saying is, we just been fed so much junk food in the church. We've forgotten the reality of what we're supposed to be doing, and we're pursuing an American dream that's elusive. You can't have it, because even when they do get it, those that make it, they end up either blowing their brains out, drinking themselves to death, or end up on the side of the road somewhere in the ditch, or in all their gold and treasures, miserable. Because without God, you will always be miserable. Fun, just for a season. Sin is fun, just for a season. But there's coming the day of wake up. And God is trying to bring the church to the place of wake up. Watch what he says here. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but reveals his secret unto the servants, his prophets. He's talking to him now. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? I'll tell you who doesn't fear when a lion roars is the one that is deaf spiritually. The one that doesn't care. The one that's caught up with the cares of the world and doesn't look at the signs and times of the season. But can I tell you something? That's something I read today that is very positive, that 2 out of 5 Americans realize we're in the end times. And a very encouraging report, but very sad by production. In other words, if 2 in 5 believe we're in the end times, why haven't we turned the world upside down and preached this message to the ends of the earth, which is the key element for the end of the season and the end of the age, is to preach the message to all the world, then the end shall come. So I'm waiting, Brother Mark, for the catch up, for them to catch up to the reality. Okay, I see and I hear we're in the last days. Now let me go do. But one of the things we have to do in the house of God is destroy this mythical belief that we're out of here. Because of the end times. That's part of the crack and the meth spiritually and the junk food. And get down to reality of the carrots. Come on, somebody. And the broccoli and the vitamins that you're going to be here. See, if I don't care about being here, I'm going to eat junk food. But if I'm training to be an Olympian or training to have a masteries, as Paul said, then I would buffet my body. I would take care of myself knowing there's a long haul. That's why I believe most Christians in the body and the church are dealing with so many different things, and in America, I should say, is because we don't care about longevity. It's for the now.
That's right.
I'm going to shove this cake in my mouth now. You watch, coming up here, Christmas time, New Year's Eve, people get 15. I don't know how I got 15 pounds on, man. I don't know why I'm waddling. Is anybody, come on, church. Well, because it was 1 potato, 2 potato, 3 potato, 4, 5 potato, 6 potato, 7 potato, more. And just keep eating and eating and eating, gobbling, gobbling, gobbling. That was pretty good. You know, it's funny when somebody gives you the in their laugh. Somebody sent us a text. It was a little turkey during Thanksgiving. It's, what did it say? Gobble till you waddle or something like that. Eat till you. It was hilarious. Listen to me now. I'm not bum hung. You know, don't eat. Have a good time. Enjoy it. But don't come to January 1st and go to Gold Gym saying, I need a change. Because that's when all the subscriptions, come on, Mary. That's when all the subscriptions, that's when they all start going to all these health things. Because you didn't discipline yourself during Christmas and the holidays. Do you see the cycle? And the church has done the same thing, but we haven't left the holidays. We've been in holiday. And our preachers are to blame. Somebody got to ring the bell and say, back to school. Come on, your break is over. Earth, hello, come to earth. I hope I'm that voice today. I said, I hope I'm that voice. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who cannot? You got to prophesy. You must prophesy. You must declare and decree what God has to say. Or why are you in the pulpit? I'm talking to preachers today. Why are you in the pulpit, man? Why are you on the radio? Why are you on the YouTube if you won't prophesy what God has to say? Get off of it. Give it to somebody else, man. Because I'm telling you, it's coming to shaking when you ain't going to have a choice but either get right or get out. You watch and see. God will preserve his prophets. Let me try that again. God will preserve his remnant. I'm going to show it to you. He will provide for us. Whoever that is, whoever I'm speaking to or speaking about, he will keep us alive and striving and surviving and succeeding in the end times. But it won't be according to the measure and measurements of culture. Definitely not the American culture. We got it all wrong. Publish in the palaces of Ashdod and the palaces in the land of Egypt and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof and the oppressed and the midst thereof. Now what does that mean? He's talking to the Philistines and he's talking to the Egyptians. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, heathen nations, I want you to come gather upon the mount in Samaria and look and see the great chaos and the crisis that I'm going to do to Israel. I want the pagans and the heathens to see that I'll discipline my own people. It was an insult to Israel that I'm going to have your enemies camp out and burn beanie weenies, come on somebody, and hang out and watch the show. To prove to you I am not a respecter of persons. This is why I'm telling you judgment begins in the house of God. And America, the nations are going to watch us burn. They're going to watch us go through trials and tribulations and chaos and crisis like we're doing now. And they are going to see that because we named the name of Christ and God himself but didn't follow him, we are ripe for judgment too. And they'll have a ringside, fireside, if you will, view of judgment. That's why they're looking back at us now and saying, my God, what's happened to America? And I'm not just preaching some doom and gloom pastor stuff. You can read the articles where nations after nations, they're sending, listen to me, some nations are sending warnings out to their people not to go to certain cities in America. They're even doing a travel warning not to come to America. Read it. It's there. I didn't make that up. They're not saying that because of our high gas prices or too much trans fat in our Whoppers. They're saying it because we're nuts. I'm not looking at anybody. They're nuts. People are just crazy, and you don't need nobody to tell you that. I mean, when a FedEx man runs over a child and then murders her because she's afraid, he's afraid because she's going to tell her daddy. We've lost our brains, man. We've lost all moral connectivity at all. It just shot. That's just one of multiplied thousands of stories almost daily you hear. Not just in America, it's happening in the world. But my point is, we're the ones of all nations. In God we trust. God bless America. God, 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 God. Is that right? And we pride ourselves of the cross, and we pride ourselves of all these different things. It's just trinkets. It's just incantations. It's nothing. I got to go. I got to leave. I don't want to. I love being with you and seeing you get upset. Verse 10. Let me close this thing. I went over last week, and I really apologized to Joshua many times because I just could not stop. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up what? Violence. We just talked about that. And robbery in their palaces. In other words, their fortresses. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary, there shall be even around about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from her, or from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Watch this, verse 12, and I'm closing. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of the ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwelt in Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. What he's saying is that's about a remnant. I got some pieces out. The couch is representing fabric. I got a little bit of the fabric of the couch out. I salvaged something out of the judgment that I'm bringing because there were a few righteous folk in the land. I believe that's where we're headed as a church. I believe that's where we're headed as a nation. I believe that's the word of the Lord, that God is bringing judgment to us and that we must find our place in him to be a part of that remnant church that he desires for us to be. If you're watching me today, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today's the day to make it right. Holiday season, a lot of joy, a lot of lights, a lot of presents. Why don't you give your heart to Christ and let him give you the present of eternal life? I pray that you take that gift today. It's free. If you're backslidden, this message hits you in any way, you've been following the charlatans, the witches, and the warlocks of our modern church today and think everything's groovy and gravy, you got another thing coming. And I pray that you give your life to Christ in a greater dimension. Father, thank you for this message, the word of the Lord. May we always seek, what does God have to say about life in any situation we're facing? And in it, we'll find truth. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, I love you. God is good, and I'll see you Wednesday, Kingdom Teaching.